very few notes, so I had to put it on here just to help me figure out what I'm doing. We'll read one verse. If you will, please stand. Proverbs 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for just this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, to sing songs, and Lord, to share requests and burdens upon people's hearts. Lord, also, we hear praises of souls saved this week at church camp, and you working in a great and mighty way in different people's lives. Lord, we're thankful for this morning service and the spirit that was here. And Lord, that same spirit's here tonight. And God, we just ask for that Holy Spirit, Lord, to empower the message and help us, Lord, to just believe and trust your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to start off this way. The title of my message is A Wise Sponge. I know there is no such thing as a wise sponge. Okay? But I got that from the third word in Proverbs 17:10, entereth. Which, if you lay a dry sponge on the counter with no moisture or anything, what's it going to get? Ain't going to get nothing, is it, Brother Paul? Now, they make sponges now more... that's going to be bad grammar either way. I'm going to lose this one on the grammar deal. But back in the day, the sponges, when they got dry, they got really hard. How many of y'all remember the old days? Now they've got like different stuff they make them out of. They hardly ever get hard, but they can get dry. But if you set them in moisture, you can just watch it just soak it up. And that's what I thought about in this verse. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, that word fool, we'll get into it in just a minute, may not have as strong a meaning as we might say, but it's not a good meaning, okay? I'm just not gonna sugarcoat it that much. But the first thing I want to share with you tonight is a word about the word. Because what I want to share with you is about the word of God and how we receive it. When people that are maybe out of church or whatever, and they say, oh, those people go to that church, they got a bunch of rules. They got a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, that's true. And sometimes the churches have more do's and don'ts than they should have. And if you remember in the New Testament, Jesus fussed at the Pharisees because they wanted to look good, but their heart was not clean. It was not pure. And we got to be careful that we don't take stuff that is not in God's word and use it to rebuke people. It's fine to have methods. You know, if you have a school, if you have like our sanctuary, you know, don't bring food in, and you know, but kids still have that come in still need little snacks to kind of get them through the service. I get that. But the general gist is don't bring a bucket of popcorn and just, you get what I'm saying? Well, here this verse tells us reproof entereth more into a wise man. In other words, he's going to soak it up like a sponge. But just a moment about the Word of God. I got a couple of things here to just hopefully help us on this. And what's our... We got a few of our kids program people. Psalm 119, 105 says what? Thy He put two verses in one. That's good though. That's Psalm 105 and Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's verse 11. But you give 105 first, and then you tacked on a little bit from verse 11. And that's fine. Do you believe that? Now, most of y'all have heard of Billy Graham. And I've heard this story several times. I wouldn't say a bunch, but I've heard it several times. And I've watched maybe documentaries. I'm a big documentary guy in the wintertime if I see one that interests me. But before Billy Graham was Billy Graham, he preached and went around preaching with very little success. And he had some people that he, I don't know whether he went to school, can't remember the details on that. But they told him, said, now, Billy, you got to get this theological understanding. You need to teach more of this. And there were things that he didn't agree with. And he got to struggling about the Word of God. And he got to struggling, and this is looking back, whether he could trust it or not, whether he understood enough of it, or whether just what it was. He went out somewhere close to Los Angeles, out in a, he says, a desert place. And he took his Bible. And he laid it on a rock. And for several hours, he just prayed and talked to God about the Word of God. And he just kept looking at that Bible, and finally, you know, He told God everything he was feeling, and I can't tell you all that he quoted or whatever that story recounts. But he's come to the conclusion that if this is the Word of God, he was going to trust it, and he was going to obey it, and that was settled it. You say, well, big deal. He should have done that already. He probably already had said that or thought that. But what I'm saying, it entereth into his heart at that time. That knowledge, that understanding, like the rebuke. Now, what is rebuke? Rebuke is someone telling you something that's right that maybe you're doing wrong or you need to correct. That's just basically what it is. And I've got this written down. You probably heard me say, I don't say it a lot. But even if you do not decide, you still have made a choice. I mean, I got to preach Monday. I love doing the first message. Brother Don said there's no other preacher that wants to do the first message. I want to do the first one. And those kids that are there, and you here as well, whatever decision that God may be speaking to you about, if you don't decide, you've already made a choice. The choice is given. If you know you're lost and you say, Lord, in your mind, you're not speaking it out, and you know you're lost, you've made a decision that day to reject God for that day. It's just plain. You can debate that if you want to, but that's true. That's like me. If I want to clean my dirty truck up on the inside, Brother Lee, I got to make a decision to do it. But if I don't do it, I've already made a choice. I'm not going to clean it. Now, y'all know that I do lawn care, and my truck is pretty sad shape, the inside of it. And a lot of times, I just take a blower. Y'all think this is crazy. And just get on one side and just blow, 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 and go to the other side. Oh, all doors open and just blow, blow, blow. It gets it pretty clean. Get a little gas smell in there, but that's normal for me. And y'all are laughing. See, if I clean my truck tomorrow, by Saturday, it's not as dirty as it was, but it's already getting grass in it. That makes no difference to this message, but what I'm trying to tell you, if you don't make a decision, you're going to be making a choice either way. And what I want to make sure you think about is God gives us plenty of warnings, plenty of messages. He speaks to us enough as it is. And if you don't move or decide on that, you've made a choice. Now here's a caveat, I guess, is the way you use this. There's a lot about the Bible that even when Billy Graham passed away, he didn't understand. But he still trusted it. He still believed it. But the parts that he did understand and the parts that he did read, that's what he received. That's what he soaked up into his life. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life." If you read a proverb every day and you just read that part about the lamp and the light and the instruction and the knowledge and the understanding, you could gain a lot of understanding about the Word of God. Because in chapter 1, we read it this morning, chapter 1, verse 5, what did it say? A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 19. I think that's right. I'm doing this on memory, I think. Verse 21, one of the first Proverbs I really started breaking down. There are many devices in a man's heart. There's a lot of thought processes that go on. There's a lot of things. But here's what the Proverb writer says. He says there are many devices, many thought processes in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Nothing else. You can come up with all kind of thought processes. The preachers fuss because they're teaching the theory of evolution. Well, a lot of people follow the theory of evolution. It's wrong. Creation, there was a creator. And all God's people should believe that, because why? It's settled. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't understand how he did it, but I believe it, because this, the Bible, that's God's word. This is my Bible tonight, but it's God's word. When it says that he made them male and female, good enough with me. When it says that he gave man dominion over the earth, good enough with me. When it tells me in Genesis chapter 3 that the devil came up and deceived Eve and mankind fell into sin, that meant that the devil had dominion over the earth and God had to send his son to pay the price for sin, I believe it. When it says that Jesus came born of a virgin, prophesied 715 years before that, and it came true, that didn't make it no more true for me, but I believe it because it's confirmed in God's word. He was sinless. He went to that cross and he died. And when he rose up out of that grave, he won dominion over mankind again. And you know what? One of these days, he's going to sit on the throne. And we're going to praise him forever and ever. Why, Brother Bill? Because the Word of God tells me that. I'm asking you tonight, where else would you want to get your information? Facebook, Twitter. I don't do Instagram. I don't do this other, the TikToks and all the flippity-flop stuff of the world. And I mean, you know, hey, they have their place and they can be entertainment. I got that. But in the end, it's going to burn. It's going to be gone away. I mean, I'm a Facebook guy. I don't get on it a lot. I don't read. If somebody's got a, I'll just tell y'all, if you got a paragraph and it turned into a long thing, there's a great chance that Rick ain't reading it. I mean, it's a pretty good chance. Now, if it's real interesting, because I've read those, Brother Paul, and then get to the bottom and it's some kind of joke or something. Burn me. But let's don't talk about that. Let's look back in Proverbs chapter 17. We had a word about the word. Let's talk about the wall of rejection. In Galatians 4:15, it says the way of the transgressor is hard. And that's talking about the way of the sinner, the way of the lost person. That's going to be hard. And why is that? Because, and I'm flipping this, I'm going to do the fool first. Look at what it says, than 100 stripes into a fool. I love our kids that we bring into the youth program, but there's some of them that are not going to receive the truth. But this is what I also know. I ain't going to give up trying to give it to them. Because I'm here to tell you, I've experienced this. You see that kid that is the one that's going to get on your last nerve. I mean, the one. And then you see them get saved and something happens in their life. I'm in for the rest of the ride. And I've seen it happen. One of them's working at Subway in Lancaster. I don't hardly ever see her. But she gave her life to Christ at church camp. And she ain't been the same. I mean, she's different. And she wouldn't have nothing to do with it. It says here that more than 100 stripes into a fool. That means that they're listening to the word of God, but they're not receiving it. They're sitting in a dry place, a sponge. They're not putting it into the word of God. That word fool, and some of you may have heard this, the definition of a simpleton. Anybody know what a simpleton is? Basically, just means a simple person, but they're foolish or gullible. We worked at the addictions program, and I can think of two or three of them especially that stand out. They would come in and they would talk about how much they prayed and read their Bible, but you hardly ever heard them say anything about Jesus Christ. And what they wanted to talk about was, well, we had a Bible study, or we had a preacher that told us about the seven horses and the color, or the four horsemen and the seven this and the whatever this. And we would get to our counseling group, and I would just look at them and I'd say, what about Jesus Christ? Yeah, but I want to know about them four horsemen. They want to know about something that's not going to affect them and that's fun to talk about, but they didn't want to get down to the brass tacks and say, hey, Jesus came to die for your sins. You've got a problem in your life. You need to give your life to Christ. Yeah, but what about them four horses? One of them's red, one of them's black, one of them's this, one of them's that. And they would go for that other stuff, and they were so gullible for that. And one of them I'm thinking about in particular, their family, believed that you could lose your salvation. And she has fought with that and fought with that and fought with that. And I have sat and talked with her and showed her verse after verse. And she still thinks that she can't keep her salvation. But she keeps coming and listening to the Word of God, because I know she's been going to church here recently. That was exciting to a good church that believes that Jesus can save and secure your salvation for eternity, because that's what the Bible says. Jesus said in John 10, I'm going to put you in my hand, and not only that, you're in my hand and you're in God's hand, and no man can pluck me out of your no man can pluck you out of my hand. And I believe that. But this simpleton is foolish and gullible. He refuses to hear. He refuses to listen. And there's a multitude of verses I could share with you. I'm going to share with you a couple. Look at Proverbs 13. Again, I encourage you to read Proverbs. Today is the 18th. I would have read the 18th Proverb today, chapter 18. Look at verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. I said that was in Galatians 4:15. I was wrong. It's in Proverbs 13:15. Go to chapter 1 of Proverbs. The end of the chapter. Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn to you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye had said it not, my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Get this part. God says, also, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock then your fear when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but what's it say? I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. They that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I'll just go ahead and finish this. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet from the fear of evil. Again, that's why I give a word on God's word. Do you believe that? I believe that. Let's look at the wise man. Look back at Proverbs 17. I've got the fool as the wall of rejection. I've got the wise man as the sponge of reception. And I want to remind us that we will never understand the whole Bible. Not while we're living here. I'm hoping that when we get to heaven, that Jesus is going to have a Bible study that lasts for an eternity, and we're going to just like be soaking it up. And he's going to show us how all this stuff goes together. I listened to Lou Holtz. Who knows who Lou Holtz is? Great, I can use an analogy. Nobody knows a guy. He's a great football coach. Brother Bill does. And I'm sure if you think about it, he coached Notre Dame. I think his last coaching job was at South Carolina. Everywhere he went, he was successful. He took three different college teams from like worst to bowl or top 10 teams. At Notre Dame, he won a national championship. And I think there was another place where he won either the national championship or was ranked number two at the end. And he is a great football mind. And I listened to him, and the guy asked him, said, what is the key to your success? He said, well, I got three rules, three things that I strive to teach my guys. Now, if you were a football coach, wouldn't you tell them the first thing is to be strong? Work out, run, or something like that? He said, nope, I got three things. Do the right thing. That's one. Man, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Do the right thing. Folks, sometimes we know to do the right thing. We might sometimes fail. What about the second thing that he gave? do things at the best of your ability. I've seen people at UPS and at Tom McCann, where I worked before that, and at the post office, they didn't do their best. There were some that did, don't get me wrong. But most people are just trying to scrape by. And we're talking about this. Hey, I'm talking about our church right here, folks. Hey, we need to do the right thing. And we need to do everything to the best of our ability. I told you this morning, I really was not fired up about going to church camp. I mean, my wife wasn't going to go. Other stuff I won't get into. I just wasn't really just all excited about going. But you know what I made my mind up about 2 weeks before? If I'm going, I'm going to make sure I take God with me. And God says, you know what, if you're going to go, Rick, you're going to go and do the best you can. Well, long story short, you probably could tell by my part or testimony, I enjoyed camp. It would have been better if my wife was there or whatever, you know, I mean, I'm sure of that. But I went and I did the best I could. And there's other people that could have done what I've done better, differently, and had a different impact. His third thing. Now this is a Hall of Fame coach, Brother Ronnie. He says, do the right thing, do the best you can, care for people. And this guy asked me, he said, now coach, he said, I didn't ask you to give you your life philosophy. He said, I asked you for the things that you coach. He said, you don't get it. That's what I taught my team. He said, if you do the right thing, you're going to learn how to help everybody around you, and you're going to do it to the best of your ability, and that's going to be caring. In other words, if you're the safety and you care for people, you're going to make sure that you tell that front linebacker that there's such and such going on. Church members, if you care for people, you're going to watch and see that a brother or sister just needs you to just come alongside them and say, hey, how's everything going? Don't cut them down. Don't chop them up. Don't gossip about them. Just go up and say, you all right? Anything I can do? They may tell you nothing. Then again, they may say, you know what, just pray for me. And it may be one of those friends that when you say that, they say, can I talk to you about something? Now, that being said, I told you that my buddy Patrick came to church camp. And y'all, I don't know whether you have a friend like this, but if I see something that Patrick's doing that I feel like I could tell him, I don't have any lack of freedom. I feel like I got liberty just to tell him. Now, Patrick's not a big sinner, so I don't have a lot of sin to tell him, but he was talking Thursday before he left, and I was trying to talk him into staying through Thursday night and into Friday. And I came off a little hard at him. I really did. But me and Patrick are used to doing that. Because he would tell me if I was in the same position. So on the way home Friday, I know he's cutting hay or whatever because that's why he said he had to leave. I called, couldn't get a hold of him, of course, because he turns his phone off and he works. And he checks on his phone ever so often. So I sent him give a message on his phone, say, hey, brother, I think I come off too hard at you, whatever. And, you know, I just want to tell you, you know, I'm sorry, forgive me. And, of course, he called me back and said, no, you didn't offend me. And we got to talking about how many times, Brother Paul, we had done that back and forth. Because, I mean, there was a couple times he'd come on me years ago, and he'd call me, brother, I didn't want to. Sorry, come on. But we learn. Here's my point with that. If we're brothers and sisters here at this church, there's going to be times Well, maybe you need to say, hey, if God's speaking to you, go ahead and do it. Here's the thing. I'm trying to figure out a way of saying this, and I don't know how to say it. Preacher shouldn't have no problem like that, right? I just have to stop to think about that. But let's say that you say you have a burden for a lost soul. And I'm just hypothetical in here. And you mention that person several times. And somebody comes up to you and says, hey, have you ever spoke to them about salvation? You go, no, but I just pray for them. I know they're lost. And you say, what are you waiting on? Go ahead and say something to them. That's kind of like rebuke. Helping somebody see what they need. And here's the thing. If they tell you that, and it's not like they're speaking the word of God or anything, they're trying to be a help to you. They're trying to encourage you to go farther. You know, I tell young people, I give the candy bar analogy. I'm going to cut off quick or short. I've already seen that. I had the, Tanya knows the 6-inch rule, right, at church camp. Well, I had two of our group break the 6-inch rule, and I was afraid they were going to do it more. So I put them on my cart, take them up the top of the hill, and do a little family devotion time. And I told them what I did to the youth group at Mount Hebron. I took one of those great big Snicker bars. I think it was a Snicker or Milky Way, either one. And I carefully opened up the end, slid that candy bar out, and I just went, slid it back in there and put it on that table right there. And all them kids seen it as it come in. I had 17, 18 of them. And when they come in, I say, hey, I got a candy bar here for anybody that wants it. Well, you know, girls are always the first to speak up, but guys are always the first to step up. Boy steps up, I'll take it. I said, now there's something I got to tell you before you eat that candy bar. And you're going to eat it right here in front of us first. No problem, man. Second thing I got to tell you about that candy bar is I've already taken it out of the package. I've already licked on the front and the back. Took that candy bar and put it back on the table. And I told them kids, I said, look, God has put forth, I'll just go ahead and say it already, sex set apart for marriage. And he don't want you taking that candy bar out of the package until it's time. They took it pretty good. I give it to them in a kind of a humorous way, I guess you could look at it. Do the right thing. Do it at the best of your ability. Care for people. I told them, I said, I only tell you that because I love you. And look, I come on some of them kids' hearts through the week a few times. Hard. Like they would be acting up. I mean, I'm not laying hands on nobody. But I got up in a couple of them's face a couple times. And they didn't like it. But I could come back and say, hey, the only reason I did that was A, B, or C. Reproof. A reproof entereth more into a wise man. Are you a wise person here? Are you soaking up the correction from the Word of God? I want to just a little bit more here. Look in verse 27, same chapter of Proverbs. I know I've rambled, and I'm sorry. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Did y'all get that? I may not have a lot of knowledge tonight. I may not have spared my words enough. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Look up verse 24. Wisdom is before him that understandeth, but the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Y'all believe the word of God, right? I took respecting my mom and my dad a lot more serious the more I read Proverbs. It doesn't mean I'm always going to agree with what they think or what they say or what they do. No, that doesn't mean that. But I just want to finish like this. Go to Proverbs 24, 29. This will be the thought process from tonight's message. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Now, stop right there, and then here's the message. I went by the field of the slothful. What's a slothful person? In case those people don't get this KJV word. Lazy. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. As a lawn care guy, Eli, when I walk by and see somebody that's got a big old weed sticking out right by their front door, I'm thinking, why don't they just take the butcher knife from the kitchen and just chop that thing off and get it out of the way? I mean, my next door neighbor had a little bitty tree that started right next to his porch. And 2 years later, you can't see his back porch. And I'm thinking, dude, it doesn't take, you know, a brain surgeon to figure this one out. He's talking about spiritual things. He's seen somebody's life that was grown over with thorns and nettles, and it was covered all the way, and things were starting to fall apart and break down. And he took what? Instruction. 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Folks, look, if you're going to be slothful about the things of God, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Your Christian life is going to fall apart. It's not, if you will, going to be trimmed up and look like it's taken care of. But I want to go back to my question. Do you believe that God's word is God's word? Will you receive it? Will you soak it up? Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here. God, I do pray you forgive me for rambling a couple times this evening, but really, I just try to get the word that you shared with me. Lord, we hear the word preached, and we read it from time to time through the week. And I think that sometimes we don't soak it up, not because we don't believe it, it's because we don't receive it. And that be the key to a lot of things. Lord, I just pray for, we're going to sing a song invitation. God, if there's anyone that needs something, and I come to the altar and pray about it, I know it's open, and you'll receive them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.